News Talk ZB and the New Zealand Herald present Cooking the Books with Frances Cook, demystifying your finances.
Hi, I'm Frances Cook. Welcome to the show. If you're a regular Joe reading the news lately, you could be forgiven for feeling sulky about the state of your pay. Fonterra's CEO, Teo Spearings, has almost doubled his total pay packet to $8 million. Not bad if you can get it. Meanwhile, our politicians are still wrangling over who will be in government, and yet they're getting a raise too. It looks more reasonable on paper at 2.5%, but keep in mind they're already paid a lot. In real dollars, that means even a lowly backbencher gets an extra $4,000. The Prime Minister, whoever that is, will get more than $11,000 extra. These aren't one-off incidents either. Otago University research has found that between 1997 and 2015, chief executives' pay packets have increased 228%. In comparison, the average worker's pay has gone up 91%. If you're feeling a bit irritated by now and thinking it's time to ask for a raise, then good. So you should. It might not be $8 million, but let's see what we can do to get real people's wallets looking a bit healthier.
News Talk ZB presents Cooking the Books with Frances Cook, boosting your business confidence.
I'm joined now by ETU Union National Secretary Bill Newsom. There's been a lot of talk about powerful people getting pay rises recently. How's it going for the little guy? Is the average worker that you're dealing with getting a raise?
Well, most working New Zealanders aren't in the powerful camp. And just to set the scene, last year, something like 43% of Kiwis who work and work hard got no wage increase at all. Of those that did, according to the government's own information through the Labour Cost Index, the average increase was around 1.7%. So, you know, for those workers, that's either a real wage cut or no increase at all when you measure that against inflation. So you're right about the more powerful, the higher management sector, CEOs, they seem to be able to get double-digit increases in their remuneration packages each year. But for ordinary working Kiwis, it's certainly not like that. And it's been like that way for some time, that trend of nearly a half of workers getting no increase, the other half just treading water, really. That's been the average for some years.
When you say some years, are we talking 5 years, 10 years?
Oh, look, you can go back the last 9 years.
Okay, so basically since the global financial crisis, we've been stagnating.
Yeah, and yet the economy has done quite well for periods, and people would have remembered that expression, the rock star economy. And it doesn't seem to matter how well the economy performs. People don't do better, and that's because the system we have for distributing the wealth that we create at work doesn't really work. So there's issues around investment and productivity in New Zealand, which we may come back to. But there's a fundamental problem, which is the system we have in law to set wages and incomes, salaries, is really flawed and doesn't work for workers.
Okay, so if someone's listening to this or has a friend and they think, I want to know for starters if I am underpaid, you know, and it gives you a bit of extra ammo if you're going to approach your boss, right? So where do you get info about pay levels for your industry, what's fair, what's standard, all of that?
Well, for employers, they have their organisation, their union, if you like, the EMA or Business New Zealand, and that's where they go for authoritative advice. For working people, they really need to contact the relevant union for the type of work they do, because you can go online and sort of sift through all sorts of information, I guess. You can try MB, but they're not really equipped for that sort of thing. Working people really have to contact that union. You know, unions will talk to you and they are authoritative. They know what's going on in your type of job and they can give you advice.
Okay, so say you've talked to your union and you know for sure that you're getting underpaid, or frankly, maybe you just want to have a crack at getting a raise. That's fine too. How do you start the conversation with your boss in a way that's likely to get you what you want?
Well, I would say this, but the people should join a union. This is what unions do. Unions are experienced in this sort of thing, and you know we can help you out. The Victoria University Centre for Labour, Employment and Work analyses wages in New Zealand, and their analysis shows that union workers covered by a union collective do significantly better in terms of regular wage increases than workers who are not in a union covered by a union agreement. So that's a good place to start. If you want to give it a shot, my advice is to sit down and think about it, work out a plan and how you're going to present yourself, and then ask for an interview with your employer and sit down and think about things like how long you've worked for the company and what you do to add value to the company, how long it's been since you had a last increase, what you feel you've contributed in that time, how's the company doing financially, some sort of comparative analysis that you would have got from ringing the union support centre or checking online about what other people doing similar work earn, maybe even anecdotal, talk to your mates about it, ask your friends and family who, if they know people doing similar sort of work. Many people do. And then develop a case and present it. And if you get knocked back, don't just leave it there. Ask for a follow-up interview in 6 weeks, 12 weeks, and ask what you need to do in that time in order to earn an increase. And ultimately, if you're not being paid what you know you deserve, find a better job, find a better employer who treats you with more respect.
And there is sometimes that wiggle room, right, for maybe money is genuinely tight, maybe the company genuinely can't give you cash, but what about other things you could ask for instead? Can you do that? Should you do that?
Yeah, I think you can, and in some cases you should. I think, first of all, just the caution, most ordinary working people need the money. And if you're not getting annual wage increases that at least match the increase in inflation, you are in effect having a what's called a real wage cut. So it is good to look at alternatives, particularly if the company, you know, may not have the cash flow going on or some other reason. And then sometimes that's genuine. Things you can look at, things like flexible work hours, for example, that can be something that's advantageous to some workers, and in some cases may even be more advantageous than the wage increase. That is flexible work arrangements for the same income. Better paid domestic leave for looking after sick relatives, children when they're sick. That can be very stressful, particularly for women workers when they have to do that. Subsidised tertiary education for younger workers who are also in tertiary education. Maybe the employer can help contribute towards that. Maybe a higher superannuation employer contribution. We often work in that area in the union. There might be a mixture of a percentage increase on your hourly rate and a cash payment, or maybe just a straight one-off cash payment. Okay, I can't give you an hourly increase, but I can give you $2,000, that sort of thing. So there are a variety of options, including just a straightforward period of paid leave above what you would normally be entitled to. So it can be creative, but the bottom line is, if you're not getting regular wage increases to match inflation, you are falling behind, and it's so much more difficult to come back from that.
And obviously on this podcast, we'll often look at things from the perspective of what can you do to help yourself? But particularly on this issue, but on many of the issues, there's also this wider context of, okay, but whose responsibility is this overall, and where does the buck stop? I mean, whose responsibility is it to make sure that the issue of pay is being brought up regularly, and what should you be expecting from your employer? What's reasonable?
Well, it's an employer's responsibility, but let's face it, those figures I started off with, nearly half of all workers every year getting no wage increase, the other half getting very moderate very modest wage increases, hardly matching inflation. It shows that employers aren't meeting that responsibility. And the long-term trend we've seen means that an intelligent person has to say they never will. And let's face it, to be brutally frank, they seem to be able to do so for themselves. And we've seen in the CEO sector, in that same period of time, double-digit increases in remuneration packages every year. And now that's just a fact. And it's a fact that even the Institute of Directors is starting to recognise that CEO salaries are just getting totally out of kilter with reality. We saw the head of Fonterra creaming it, if I could put it that way, with an $8.3 million increase, milking the system.
$8.3 million all up, I believe.
That's the package, yeah, and that's the important thing about CEO remuneration. It isn't a package, and bizarrely, there can be people. The average salary of a CEO across the board is about $1.1 million a year, and that's just the salary. And then they get these huge incentive elements, which is pretty bizarre when you think about it. I mean, if you're paid a really large salary to do a good job, why do you have to be paid another large incentive payment to do a good job? You imagine a cleaner on $15.75 saying, look, thanks, I'll take the $15.75 because that's what they're paid, but you've got to pay me another $20 for me to actually do the work.
Yeah.
They'd get the sack.
Otherwise, you'll still have a horrible toilet, yeah.
These people, including the head of Fonterra and all of the others, because let's face it, they're benchmarked, these huge packages. That means they're all getting it, although $8.3 million is extreme. And really, they should be just getting the base salary, which is already pretty good, an average of $1.1 million, to do a good job. It's interesting, I believe, that the Dairy Workers Union is about to go into negotiations for their increase for the dairy workers. So let's see what sort of increase.
Oh, I bet Teo's pay will come up then.
Yeah. But I think it is important to note that these are big packages. The salaries that are the base of these packages are pretty big. And, you know, they might do a good job, but so do all Kiwi workers. And to be able to regularly get double-digit increases in salaries while preaching restraint to everybody else is quite hypocritical, I would have thought. And just to repeat, to be fair, that has been picked up by the Institute of Directors, a very critical statement just this week.
So, I mean, basically it comes down to your employer might have a responsibility to bring this up with you, but they likely won't. So it's girding your loins. And I mean, I know any time I come to bring this up, because I do practice what I preach and I nag my employers for a raise, because in the media industry, otherwise nothing happens. But it does make you, well, me anyway, nervous to the point of nauseous. I don't enjoy it.
And that's natural.
You've got to do it, right?
Well, you shouldn't have to. This is the system that workers have been put in New Zealand for some time now. That workers in other successful economies, you know, are not put into so much. And there is a very clear imbalance in the power relationship between an individual worker and the organisation they work for, or the employer. The reason that we've had such stagnation in wages for New Zealand working people for so long is because the system requires individuals to have to make their case to their employer, unless they've been, dare I say it, lucky enough to become part of the union and organised and got a union collective agreement. And that's what unions are for, and that's why there's a, you know, human right enshrined in the US United Nations Declaration for union membership and collective bargaining, and that's why it's so successful in successful economies, because it's actually not fair to require workers like yourself to go through that.
Well, on that cheerful note, thank you so much. That's ATU Union National Secretary Bill Newson. If you have a question about this podcast or something you want me to look into for the future, do come and find me online. I'm on Facebook at Frances Cook Journalist and Twitter at Frances Cook. Don't forget you can subscribe to this show wherever suits you best, either Apple Podcasts or iHeartRadio. Until next time, have a great day.
And that's Francis cooking up your business confidence for another week on News Talk ZB.